Breadbox Media Programming is brought to you by...
Do you wish you knew the saints better? Overwhelmed with all the events in Catholic history and just wish you could tie it all together? It's tough work, and even scientists have determined that it takes approximately 400 repetitions to create a new synapse in the brain. Unless it is done with play, in which case it takes between 10 and 20 repetitions. Introducing Saint Cards, where the facts about saints and history are presented in fun and engaging games for ages 4 to 104. Check out Saint Cards at saintcards.com and begin the fun for your family, school, and parish today.
Introducing the redesigned CatholicSingles.com, featuring new ways that put the spotlight on the person and their faith, not just a profile picture. For the past 20 years, faithful Catholics have used CatholicSingles.com, and the reimagined CatholicSingles.com website is ready to help single Catholics take the next step in sharing meaningful relationships with other faithful Catholics. Remember, CatholicSingles.com for faith, fellowship, and love.
What are you doing this Lent? The St. Paul Center is streaming their newest video Bible study for free starting Ash Wednesday. Based on Scott Hahn's renowned covenantal theology, this is a study no one should miss. Invite your friends, Catholic or not. Don't miss your chance to see this premium study for free. Go to stpaulcenter.com to sign up today.
Oh, man, it is so good to be back. Welcome to the Gary Zimak Show. I, of course, am Gary Zimak. It's been a long time since I've been with you in a podcast, and I'm so blessed to be able to do this once again, coming to you on Breadbox Media. This is the initial show. The plan is to do this once a week for 30 minutes, talking about how the Lord wants to be a part of your life. You know me, I talk a lot about overcoming worry. You can believe we are going to talk about that. In fact, today's topic, we'll look at what Jesus had to say about worry. I'll share that with you, plus other things as they come up. Again, I'm so glad to be here. I want to thank Pete Sox and everybody at Breadbox Media for making this possible. Here's what I like to do before I start. I always like to begin in prayer. So if you would please pray with me now and ask for the Holy Spirit to descend upon us, to give me the words and to open our hearts and our minds so that we'll be able to respond to his message. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Dear Father in heaven, thank you for giving us this new day. Father, thank you for this opportunity to share your good news on Breadbox Media. Father, thank you for the gift of Jesus Christ, your Son. During this Lenten season, we focus on walking with Jesus, walking with him one day at a time, growing closer to him, ultimately ending up closer to you, Father, as well. I ask you to send the Holy Spirit. Please let the Holy Spirit come alive in me so that I can say what you want me to say, so I can get out of the way so your message can be delivered, Father. I ask that you open all of our minds, all of our hearts, so that we are receptive to the message you have for us. I'm so grateful, Father, for the opportunity to open up sacred scripture and to be able to share your good news over the airwaves. Father, we ask for these things in the most holy and sacred name of Jesus Christ, your Son and our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God forever and ever. Amen. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Boy, I have to tell you, I am so excited to be here to do this again. I'm a little rusty. I haven't done the podcast in several months, but it's been time. I've gotten requests from many listeners saying, hey, Gar, when are you going to do the podcast again? Well, here you go. And I'm so grateful to Breadbox Media for making this possible. I just got in from the airport. I was out in Greencastle, Indiana, giving a Give Up Worry for Lent talk, and it's been incredible. The response to the talks and the book has been mind-boggling. You may not know this, but Give Up Worry for Lent, my new book available from Ave Maria Press, completely sold out. It can't be found anywhere. Ave Maria Press is reprinting a limited number of copies. I managed to get some for the talk that I was giving, and now the rumor is, the word on the street, as they say, is that Amazon has several hundred copies of the book. They should be available very, very soon. So if you're interested, head on over to Amazon and grab a copy of Give Up Worry for Lent. But the talks have been phenomenal. And again, I credit the Lord for this completely. The idea came to me, we need to do a book, Give Up Worry for Lent. We need to do a series of talks. And the churches have been packed. I am just so grateful for this opportunity. We'll talk more about the end at the end of the show about how you can get in touch with me. I'm booking for Lent 2020 right now, and I really want to bring this message to your parish, to your conference. My website, in case you want to find out about my work, if you want to find out more about what I do and how I can help you to maybe overcome worry, which is my specialty. That's what I'm known for. By growing closer to Jesus Christ, please stop by my website, followingthetruth.com. But I thought today a really good topic would be this whole idea of worry. You know, during the Lenten season, what are we trying to do? Well, we're trying to repent, turn away from sin, turn away from things, maybe attachments that keep us away from the Lord, and grow closer to Him. That's what we're trying to do for this 40 days of Lent. That's the purpose of denying ourselves of these material pleasures, sweets. You know, some people are coming out against giving up sweets. There's nothing wrong with that, as long as we keep in mind what we're doing. We're recognizing that sometimes, and let's be honest, we all do this, we might have an attachment to a material thing. And we turn to this thing. I'm trying not to use the word idol, but I guess it really, that's what it is. We have these idols, these things that we put ahead of God in our lives, so that when we're a little stressed out and we need a pick-me-up, we'll turn to candy, or we'll turn to shopping, or we'll turn to alcohol, or we'll turn to television. All these things are not bad in and of themselves, but when they begin to take the place of the Lord who wants to comfort us, then that's a problem. So during Lent, we recognize we have these attachments. We try to break them. We try to deny ourselves. Again, there are multiple reasons we do this. One is to try to focus more on the Lord, because that's what we should be doing in our lives, and less on material things. Two is we can unite our suffering. When you give up something, it causes some suffering. Unite our suffering with the suffering of Christ and share in His mission. That's a pretty cool thing. And also, by denying ourselves of these little pleasures, it's easier for us to deny the pleasure of sin. Because let's face it, the temptation of sin is it feels good. If it didn't feel good, we wouldn't sin. It wouldn't be a problem to avoid sinning if sinning was painful. But at the time, boy, doesn't it feel good to get mad at somebody, to do the wrong thing? There are times that our fallen human nature causes us to gravitate toward this instant gratification. Man, I'm just going to do this. And then oftentimes we feel bad afterward. But before you commit that sin, it is very, very appealing. The evil one knows this, and that's why he makes it so appealing. He lies to us. He fools us. But anyway, that's the purpose of Lent. Worry is one of those things that can keep us from trusting in the Lord. So let's talk a little bit about this. But in order to explain what worry is, let's take a look at the definition of worry, and then we'll hear what Jesus had to say. This is pretty cool, right? The first podcast back for me, I'm going to let Jesus weigh in on worry. That's pretty smart of me, isn't it? Rather than me give you my opinion, I'm going to let the Lord speak. But worry, the definition of worry, this is a general, a dictionary definition of worry would be to allow one's mind to dwell on problems or difficulties, or to give way to anxiety or unease. Now, either one of those definitions, to give way or to allow your mind, right? Either one of those definitions implies what? Implies that worrying is a conscious decision. You're allowing your mind to go somewhere that you might not want to go. You're giving way to anxiety. Do you see that? It's a conscious decision. Might not feel it at the time, but really that's what it is. It's different than fear. And whenever I speak, and I know I've made this clear in several of my books, there's a distinction between fear and worry. Fear is an emotion. Fear is not a conscious decision. you have a situation in your life and you're afraid, that just overcomes you. You don't do anything to allow that to happen. And what does the church teach about emotions? Emotions are morally neutral. They're not right. They're not wrong. They're just that. They're feelings. They're passions. And it's perfectly acceptable to be afraid. Throughout biblical history, we see so many great people who were documented in the Word of God as being afraid. Abraham, Moses, the Blessed Mother. Sometimes we don't recognize that Mary was indeed afraid. Here she is, conceived without original sin, never having committed a sin in her life, and yet when the angel appears to her in Luke chapter 1, we're told that she was greatly troubled by his words. What were those words, by the way? Hail, highly favored one, or hail, full of grace, the Lord is with you. She was afraid, not by the appearance of the angel, that's not what the Bible says, but by those words. Obviously, you look at that, what could Mary be afraid of? Why would she be afraid? Well, whenever the Lord would give that greeting to people throughout history, he had a really, really special mission for them. Mary, being humble, quite possibly felt unworthy, but she was afraid at the angel's words. She wasn't afraid once he revealed the plan. That's when I would be afraid. But the general point, that really makes you appreciate just the strong faith of our Blessed Mother and how much she trusted. But it's cool to know that Mary was afraid. She wasn't worrying, she was afraid. St. Joseph, do you remember when the angel appeared to him in the dream? And the angel said, "Do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, Joseph." Joseph was afraid. St. Paul is documented as being afraid. So all of these holy people are documented in the Bible as being afraid. If you are afraid, if you experience fear, that is not a sin. You're not doing anything wrong. You should not panic. St. Francis de Sales said about fear, "We must not fear fear." So hopefully that makes you feel good. But it's the important distinction for us to make is, how do we process that fear? How do we respond to that fear? I'm afraid by a situation in my life. Do I turn to the Lord in prayer, or do I lapse into worry? Do I give way to the what-if game, to just letting this churn in my mind, thinking, what if this happens? I'm never going to survive this, and on and on and on. How do we respond to fear? So worry, obviously, is not a good response to fear. But don't take it from me. Let's hear what Jesus has to say. And I'm going to read you something from the Bible, from the Sermon on the Mount, that you have heard a gazillion times in the past. We've all heard this. But for many people, these words are not taken seriously. But let's hear what Jesus has to say. Then I'll tell you what he says about listening to these words. And maybe you'll start to panic a little bit at this time, but don't panic, because in the end, I'll give you the solution, what Jesus went on to say, and how this all begins to make sense. Are you ready? Let's do this. We're going to turn to Matthew chapter 6, beginning in verse 25. And this is part of the Sermon on the Mount. Very clearly, Jesus is addressing the topic of worry. Wait till you hear how it starts out. You're going to like this. "Therefore, Jesus said, I tell you, do not worry." That's pretty clear, isn't it? It's kind of hard to get around that one and say, well, should I worry, Lord? He's very clearly saying, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Now again, nothing new. We've heard it many times before. Let's talk about it. What is going on here? What's the Lord say? Well, obviously he's saying, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. And then he points out that the birds of the air don't sow or reap or store away in barns, and your heavenly Father, not the birds' heavenly Father, your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Do not worry about your life. Every one of us was created by God. Our lives were given to us, created from nothing by God, and we were created in his image and likeness. Now, if our Heavenly Father created us out of nothing, as I like to say, because His universe was not complete without you, that should make you feel really special. God doesn't need us. God doesn't need any of us to be happy. God by Himself is completely happy. That's His nature. God can't be sad. But God wanted to share His happiness with you and with me. So He created us. And that is a really powerful thing. We hear that a lot. And sometimes we don't fully appreciate just how amazing that is. God, who created the entire universe, said, I need to create a Gary Zimak or a John Doe or a Susie Q or whoever it is, because I want them to experience my happiness. I want to share my happiness with them. That is amazing. That makes me feel very special. Now, if that is the case, God created the birds, He created you. The birds are not created in the image and likeness of God, but you are. Right? Now, follow the logic here. If He cares for them, and He does, I don't know too many birds who work for a living. They don't have jobs, they don't have bank accounts, and somehow they manage to find food. Instinctively, they're able to find food. If He cares for them, why wouldn't He care for you? And that's really what Jesus is saying. He created you, God, who is all-loving and all-powerful. God created you. Why would He not take care of your needs, both spiritual and material? Notice Jesus is talking about your life and what you will eat or drink and what you wear. These are material needs. So sometimes we lapse into thinking, oh, God only cares about spiritual stuff. Uh-uh. He cares about your needs. He created you. He knows you have a mortgage or a rent to pay. He knows you need clothes. He knows you need food. And again, we don't think of this a lot of times when we begin to panic. And this is what Jesus is saying. The birds don't sow or reap, and yet your Heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? That's a question you need to really answer. And the answer, I'll answer it for you. Yes, you are much more valuable than the birds. Your Father in heaven cares for them. Wouldn't He care for you? Now let's continue, because you know we've heard this a lot. And sometimes we can't process what Jesus is saying here, or we think, no, He doesn't get it. Trust me, He gets it. Jesus goes on to say, can any one of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your life? Note, Jesus is not saying, can any one of you, by being concerned, add a single hour to your life? If you're concerned about your health and you don't do anything about it, that wouldn't make sense. But on the other hand, if you're not feeling well, you're not taking care of yourself, and you do something, that concern leads you to exercise or to get to the doctor, you could possibly add to your lifespan. Obviously, it's God's control, but you could. But worrying is not going to lengthen your life. Allowing your mind to drift into or to fall victim to anxiety, or letting it spin around and churn about the problems in your life, that's not going to add to your lifespan. It could shorten it, though, but it's certainly not going to add to it. So far, Jesus is making a good case, but let's continue, because we're going to get to a point where we're going to question this. If you're like me and you tend to be cynical, you're going to question this. It sounds too good to be true. You might be thinking that already, but hang with me, because it will start to make sense. The Lord goes on in verse 28 to say, and why do you worry about clothes? See how the flowers of the field grow. They do not labor or spin. Yet I tell you that not even Solomon in all his splendor was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, will He not much more clothe you? Sit down, fasten your seatbelts, and listen to what He says now. You of little faith. Now you see, he's turning up the heat a little bit on us, and He brings in the flowers of the field in addition to the birds. The flowers grow. They don't have jobs. They don't have bank accounts. They don't run out to the clothing store to get clothes. But our Heavenly Father allows the flowers to grow. They're not created in His image and likeness, nor are the birds. They get taken care of. Why would you think that you would be different and that your Heavenly Father would create you as He created the birds, as He created the flowers, no doubt, but yet not take care of you. And that's when Jesus says that painful little phrase there, "Oh, you of little faith." But that's what happens when we worry. And please, don't panic. I'm not trying to make you worry more. Well, maybe a little bit. I'm going to make you worry a little bit more, and then I'm going to give you the good news. But in all seriousness, no. I mean, don't panic. This is what Lent is for. Lent is for looking at our lives and recognizing we might have some deficiencies. Well, let's take advantage of these 40 days. Jesus goes on to say once again, "So do not worry," in case we missed it the first time, he gives it to us again, saying, "What shall we eat? Or what shall we drink? Or what shall we wear? For the pagans run after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them." Now, there's some really, really important points here that we want to make sure we don't overlook. Jesus said, "Do not worry." In other words, don't worry. Not do not be afraid, do not be concerned. He's saying, "Do not worry," saying, "What shall we eat? What shall we drink? Or what shall we wear?" And please note that he's not saying be irresponsible, don't save up money to buy these things. He's saying, "Do not worry that you're not going to have what you need. For the pagans run after all these things." Okay, we're Christians. Hopefully, I would assume most of us are Christians who are listening to this podcast, but maybe not everybody. We might have an atheist or two. But as a Christian, I know that I have a Heavenly Father who loves me. Even if I don't feel it in my heart, I know that in my head. Intellectually, I know the deal. I have a Heavenly Father who created me out of nothing. I know that my Heavenly Father also sent his Son, Jesus Christ, to suffer, die on the cross, and rise from the dead so that the gates of heaven can be opened for me, a sinner, and that I can live with him forever in eternal happiness. So there's no doubt in my mind, again, I might not always feel it in my heart, but intellectually I get the fact that my Father in heaven loves me so much so that he sent his Son who suffered and died for me. Somebody who is not a Christian, who does not believe that or does not know that, they have a disadvantage. Absolutely, to them, it may seem in their mind that it is all up to them because they don't know that they have a Heavenly Father who loves them. When we live our lives ignoring the fact that our Father in heaven loves us and allows things to happen in our lives that might sometimes be unpleasant, but because of that love, he has to do this because he wants us to learn or to grow closer from him. When we live our lives as if our Father in heaven, or choosing to ignore the fact or ignoring the fact, whether it's not voluntary or not, ignoring the fact that he loves us and wants to care for us because he created us, that is called practical atheism. It's living your life as if God doesn't exist. That's a problem. Pope Benedict talked about that. And Jesus also goes on to say, your Heavenly Father knows that you need these things. That's what I like about the Lord's message. He's not denying we have needs. We have rent to pay. We have mortgages. We need clothes. We need food. He's not saying don't worry about those things. They're not important. He's saying your Father knows you need them. I think that's a very realistic statement, isn't it? If Jesus completely disregarded them and said they're not important, that would be something that's not realistic. It would show that he doesn't know what he's talking about. But that's not what he's saying. He's saying your Father knows you have material as well as spiritual needs. But seek first his kingdom. Not seek only his kingdom, seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. That does not mean you do not have to go out and do something. You have to work for these things. You have to look for them. You have to do something, right? You have to make the effort. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. So there you go. There's the what-if game that so many of us sometimes play. The Lord's saying, don't play that game. Right now, live in the present moment. He is not saying do not be concerned and save up money, make plans for tomorrow. If you can do something today about something in the future, absolutely do it. But don't begin to worry about what might happen tomorrow, because the Lord has a job for you to do today. He created you, and this day you are alive. Praise the Lord, right? He's given us this day. and he expects us to do something. Now, there's the message of Jesus, very clear. Do not worry about these things that worry us. And for the most part, we do worry about tomorrow. We do worry about material things. We do worry about things that one day aren't really going to matter. Every one of the problems that we worry about in this life, all of our problems will be gone one day, either in this life or in the next life. It's very clear. He's saying, don't worry. Now, we could ignore his words, but here's a little bit of a warning that comes a few verses later. Matthew 7, still in the Sermon on the Mount, verse 24. Therefore, Jesus says, everyone who hears these words of mine, that's us because we're hearing his words, and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. All right, so if we listen to these words specifically about worry, and he said a lot of other things in the Sermon on the Mount, and we put them into practice, we are wise. I want to be wise, don't you? The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against the house. Yet it did not fall because it had its foundation on the rock. So in other words, if we listen to what the Lord is saying about worry, then when you might not be worried about anything in particular right now, or you may be, but when the problems arise, either they're happening now or they will happen, putting his words into practice will be allowing you to live your life on a strong foundation. In other words, you're not going to fall to pieces. That's what he's saying. But everyone who hears these words of mine, again, us, and does not put them into practice is like a foolish man who built his house on sand. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against the house. And what happened? It fell with a great crash. So the Lord's saying, all right, everybody, listen up. If you pay attention to my words, take them seriously, and put them into practice, you're going to be in good shape. Your life will be built on a rock-solid foundation, and Jesus is that rock-solid foundation. But how is it, Lord Jesus, that you expect us to live a life without worrying? For any of my fellow worriers out there, this is a problem for us because we struggle. I've yet to meet a person who likes to worry. Everybody wants to get rid of this nasty habit. How do we do it, Lord? You got to give us more than that. And again, if you're a cynic like me, by nature, that's my nature, is to be cynical and to question, how is it that I can practically put this into action each day? Well, the answer comes in Matthew 11, 28. And again, these are the words of Jesus, and I'm going to address these. We only have a few minutes left. Address these to you, especially if you're worried right now and you're weary. Matthew 11, 28, the words once again of Jesus, not of me. These are the Lord's words. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. He didn't say, come to me if you're weary and burdened, and I'm going to give you a whole bunch of problems. No, he's promising rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart. And you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. If you're a city boy like me, you might not know what a yoke is. A yoke is a wooden harness that connects two cattle together, or some two livestock of any kind. Again, I'm a city boy, but I do know this. A yoke connects them. It's a harness that goes around their necks so that they can share the load when they are plowing or working in the field. If one's a little bit stronger, the one animal is going to carry a heavier load than the other, but together they can do more work than either one of them could. Jesus is saying, be yoked to me. He wants to share your burden. He wants you to be joined with him and go through life. Let me ask you a question. Who do you think is going to do the heavy lifting in your life? You or Jesus? You got it. Jesus wants to do the heavy lifting. All he wants to do, all he wants you to do, is come to him and walk with him one day at a time. That is the way you're going to experience peace in life, because you'll realize, and this comes from one day at a time walking with him, you'll realize that he's got your back and he can handle it. And that's why we begin to worry sometimes, because we forget that Jesus wants to walk with us each day. So today, I invite you to take that first step. We're going to talk more about this in the weeks to come. But right now, think about this. The Lord says, do not worry, therefore it must be possible. And it's only possible if we walk with him each day. So let's say a brief prayer. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Lord Jesus, we are tired of bearing our burdens all by ourselves. We know you want to help us. We know you don't want us to worry. So as we continue to walk this Lenten journey, we surrender our lives to you, Lord. We want to be yoked with you so that you can help us to carry the weight of our burdens. In fact, you want to do the heavy lifting, and that's fine with us. So, Lord Jesus, please take over. Please help us and grant us your peace as we continue on our journey through Lent. May we grow closer to you each day. And we ask this in your name, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Well, there you go. The first podcast is just about in the books. Again, my name is Gary Zimek. So great to be back with you here on Breadbox Media. We're going to do more of these. I'm going to shoot for one a week. And my goal is to help you and Jesus get closer together and help you to understand that he wants to walk through life with you and that he really does care about all of your problems. Anything that troubles you, he cares about and he wants to help you. For more information about my work, please visit my website, followingthetruth.com. If you'd like to make a donation to help me expand my outreach, you can do that right at followingthetruth.com, and it's very much appreciated. I would love to come to your parish to speak at your conference, your church, whatever it is. I do parish missions, retreats, talks. Followingthetruth.com is the place to go. If you have any questions, feel free to email me through the website or just directly at gary@followingthetruth.com. Until we meet again, it's just a great pleasure to be with you. Thank you for listening to me. Remember, let's walk day one day at a time with the Lord. God bless you, and we'll talk to you next time on the Gary Zimek Show.
Breadbox Media Programming is brought to you by Jack Kane Ford. Find your next Ford Tough vehicle at caneford.com.
CMF Curo is the country's first Catholic healthcare ministry to provide an affordable health sharing solution rooted in Catholic teaching and community. Learn more at mycatholichealthcare.com/podcast. That's mycatholichealthcare.com/podcast.